Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show. My name is Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Let's get this podcast over quick. I got my complimentary flight on Turkish Airlines waiting for me. Got to get out of here.
Hey, no. Oh, I went out to make fun of our mayor.
Earl is here as well.
Oh, man, I got distracted from the mayor stuff. So all I will say is polls go up, polls go down, polls go up, polls to go down. We got, 30-something days left? 40 days, I think, actually.
Yeah, I think it's a little... I think it's like 40. Just like 40. Just 40. Jeff is here as well. Hello. After a couple of weeks being sick. So
I live.
You live. Good. It's been another wild week. somehow, I mean, Tony and I, we did the podcast ourselves last week, and so much shit is moving, and I think that this is kind of, it's similar with what the mainstream media and media in general is like. Somebody tried to kill him again on his golf course, and it had already passed us. Like, we didn't even mention it last week. And I was like, I thought about it after the fact. I was like, nobody's really talking about it either.
Well, it was one of those things, like, they didn't actually get close enough to do anything to him. So it was like the first assassination attempt was like so dramatic, and it was right there on camera in the middle of a crowd. This one, like, you got to figure, like, any president, any candidate, whatever, has these like attempts like from crazy people that happen all the time.
Yeah, likely.
If you go back to like American history, you'd notice that, like, we've had several presidents get killed by people who are just nuts. They were just crazy not to just shoot somebody or stab somebody. It's kind of like you look at that stuff, and this is like one clearly disturbed individual who couldn't get close enough and never, I don't know. It didn't strike the same chord as the first one, which was so dramatic. Although I did see that Congress passed almost immediately protections into law to give him the same security that Biden has in terms of Secret Service protection.
Okay.
So that was the one thing. But yeah, and then it was gone. That was it. That was the only thing that happened.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's funny. I think my favorite part about it was it might have been Fox or somebody being like, you know, everybody, like, they instantly want to create a conspiracy. Like, how did he know he was going to go? How did he know he was going to be golfing? And I'm like, have you seen the last 10 years? You have a better chance of finding him golfing than you do working. Or talking to constituents or anything.
Like, oh, it's a day that ends in Y. I just camp out on this golf course. I may find him.
Shocking. Utterly shocking.
Tony made a joke about Earl's mayor being indicted on federal charges. Has he stepped down yet?
Nope.
He has not, and he said he's not going to do anything of the sort. That he's going to continue to operate his office as he always has.
Wonderful.
And you'll hear from him on these charges and why they're bogus. Although I will say some of the other people involved have already killed themselves. So
they have?
One of his aides shot themselves.
Oh, that I did not care about. So breaking news for me.
Yeah. Back to the Trump thing. I think the other thing about the Trump assassin was it was another white guy who'd shown support for both parties. I think that was the other thing. Is there was nothing to like go all radical and nuts about.
Yeah, they tried to because he made some contributions to but he's also he was supporting Trump. I don't know.
He supported Trump, then he supported Biden, and then this year he was supporting Haley and Ramsway.
Yeah, for it. I was gonna say, and I think I said this after the first one too. Maybe I didn't say it on the show, but like my first priority is like, oh, it was not a person of color. We're good. I don't care after that. It was not a woman. It's not a person of color. So this is all his. Hey, this is all he can deal with. That.
Right. It's. I mean, it's all from the demographic he appeals most to, which is white men, and they're trying to kill him. It's a great sign. Great sign.
Wonderful. And then, I don't know, have you guys been following the whole Puff Daddy thing?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
That, I was, New York's are very busy the past 2 years.
We're going. So is it like, is Diddy bi or something, or is like that unsubstantiated?
I don't. I mean, at this point, I don't think it matters, but it does seem like he was getting it on with any and everybody. I think it's just a orientation thing and more of a power thing.
Yeah, maybe he just liked having the whole like orgy going on around.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I saw an old clip of him on Conan from like 2002 where he was talking about. Like it was just like, it's very weird. Like he was like out in the open about it.
I think, that was, I mean, again, I think people expected, and again, I think the idea of the parties are, I mean, sketchy, but ultimately the idea of like, oh, giant orgies or whatever. It's more like the underage girls and drugging people and all of that other stuff. And trafficking folks, that was the issue.
Yeah, but he had
a bunch of people over for sex, and them breaking into, well, not breaking in, but confiscating, 1,000 tubes of lube and baby oil?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God. Oh God.
But in this old interview, he talks about how, like, when he gets this shit going, he's like, and then I lock the door so they can't get out. And Conan's like, this sounds dangerous. Like what the fuck are you talking about? You lock the door so people can't get out. Like, sounds criminal. I don't know.
So many people are like tied into this too. Like, it's going to be interesting as things get revealed.
Yeah, there was video of him like trying to get Justin Bieber to come to a party.
Justin Bieber has been at parties and like he has written songs, or he wrote a song that has lyrics like talking about how Diddy took his soul.
Okay, I think that's fake.
What is that fake?
I think so. It's so hard to figure this one out.
What I saw was that he tried to get somebody by AI. Yeah, like he tried to get him there, but he didn't go.
So there's a lot about how Usher was his guardian at one point, and he did have he let Puffy have guardianship of him for like 48 hours. So there's weird shit out there. And Usher was like, he was underage at one point, and Puffy was his guardian. Like, it's super gross. J-Lo somehow involved, like, which is like, did Ben get news of this? Is that why he left? I'm just in it to watch from afar, watch all of this insanity and see like what is true and what's not true, because there are crazy ass conspiracies out there right now. But video games, those are things that we play and talk about. Sure. TGS happened.
Or is
happening.
It's time differences, because it was so weird. Like, I knew Microsoft had something today.
When all this news came out, and Chris is like, it was at 6 a.m.
I was like, I woke up and there was like Xbox news, and then I think our Earl's actually the one that was like, oh, it was at 6 in the morning. I did not watch it. I just woke up and was like, there's a whole shitload of like Xbox announcements. What is going on? The Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters are finally out on Xbox. It's only taken 3 years for that to happen. Some other, that's like some Mana games showed up on Game Pass. They announced StarCraft 1 and all three of 2 are coming to PC Game Pass, I think November. But that was really it. Like, not a whole lot in terms of news out of the Xbox thing. And then Sony had a thing on Tuesday? Tuesday?
Need to play, yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
The biggest news out of that, though, wasn't even a Sony product. It was something else.
The biggest? Yeah, what one are you thinking of, Tony?
The Monster Hunter release date.
Okay, in February, yeah.
Yeah, that was very exciting in my household.
Yep, that's in February, and I guess Assassin's Creed got pushed to February as well. February is very stacked.
There's too many. Something's going to drop. I see they announced Civ pretty early for February. I could see that dropping out. I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that there's something like 7 major AAA games targeting February right now. I just can't see that happening.
Yeah, but
something's gonna
off the top of my head, it's Civ, Monster Hunter, Avowed, Assassin's Creed, and there's like 3 other ones I think were on your list.
There's the Yakuza game.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Like a dragon
in Hawaii.
Pirate in Hawaii.
Yeah, that was announced this week, right? Or was that was over the weekend, I think.
I think it was announced Monday.
Okay, yeah. So that's also another one that's new. But yeah, yes, that was.
Oh, and Kingdom Come Deliverance too is also.
Oh yeah.
And it can go either way, but that's also. I mean, Nintendo still has the wild card of maybe potentially having a new system out soon.
Yeah.
So yeah, February's busy. I guess that the biggest thing for me that came out of the Sony thing was the Ghost of Tsushima sequel, Ghost of Yotai, looks really good. Yeah, it's woke because there's a female protagonist. So
I like that they don't even pretend anymore. Like, it's just I saw a woman; it has to be woke.
Yeah.
It's absolutely absurd. Like
without knowing any details of the story or anything, like
right,
like it could the whole game could be built around like she was cast out. She pretended to be a man. They discovered she was a woman. Like there's a whole like who knows, and we're just like oh, it's a woman because they need a woman protagonist. I just don't understand.
Yeah, like one of the biggest Netflix kind of animated shows for the last years was something called Blue Eyed Samurai, and that's kind of the concept, Tony, is that like she pretends to be a man, she pretends to be a male samurai to work and hunt for her revenge. So, like we have no idea what the concept is for
it
Ghost
could
of
be
Yota.
Super cool, but you know we're against it because it's a female. That's all we got.
Yep, just straight. It's, oh, there's a girl. It must be a woke game.
Yep.
Wokey wokeness.
Saw a news report that Star Wars Outlaws has underperformed.
Yeah.
And all the replies were like, when will they ever learn? I'm like, what are you talking about? And I think it was like, yeah, like it's woke or I don't know.
Yeah, because she's not super hot. She has a square jaw.
Like, yeah.
Like what? Like
my favorite is the DEI jaw.
Yes, I saw that too. Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like you realize how insane you sound. But there's a whole market chase of that for people to just like, oh yeah, you know, it's got sweet babied ink or whatever. And it's like, what are you folks talking about? And then of course there's something that's super well. Oh, it doesn't count. So I don't know. It's just dumb. It was just super funny because I wasn't around for this. I the only one I saw this weekend. We're not even gonna discuss it because nothing or no came out of it. Oh, it was Sonic Central. But I didn't see it. So I saw the announcements and I'm like, oh, because again, I didn't really see anything from the state of play. So I'm like, oh, this is not going to be. And then like, oh, they start talking, oh, God. I'm like, they're talking about woke, so it's either a Vex person or a woman. And yep, lo and behold, it was a woman.
Well, it's okay if it's a woman as long as she's in a skin tight outfit and her boobs jiggle.
Oh no, it can't be skin because it has to be Revealian, because that's why they turned on Celebrate, is because they put some modesty on her and like you couldn't see through her boob window. So,
well, I hadn't realized that they had turned Stellar Blade. That's what I was referring to, was that they liked Stellar Blade because there was some boob jiggle and she could see her butt. But I didn't realize they had turned on that one too. Holy shit.
It's kind of amusing with a game like Star Wars Outlaws though, because you get it from both sides. Because you not only do you have like, oh, it's a woman, look at what Disney has done to Star Wars, all that stuff. But from the opposite end, the game is made by Ubisoft, which is this company with this huge history of sexual harassment and misogyny that they haven't really dealt with very well. So it's like that game is getting hit from both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, and I
kind of wonder if that contributes to its poor performance.
Probably a little bit. For sure. It's the only thing that seems to do real well for Ubisoft anymore is Assassin's Creed. And who knows how that one's going to turn out, like, because they are really going hard at Shadows. So.
And I do, like, and again, I don't, I'm not going to sit here and say I play Star Wars Outlaws, but I'm always so fascinated when it's never the quality of the game. Because from what I understand, it seemed like the game at launch at least was very busted. Like, there were game-breaking bugs.
Yeah, and there was... They still haven't fixed it either, but there is a very forced stealth. Like, you'll fail out if you don't complete this stealth mission that people really, really disliked. And if you get past that, it's fine. But
yeah, I sort of feel like there's this line of amount of bugs and like jank that gamers are willing to accept, and especially in modern games, knowing that they'll be patched, that'll get fixed eventually. And maybe it was over that line, and I am guessing that Assassin's Creed Shadows was looking to be at the same spot in relation to the line, which is why they delayed it to February. I'm thinking that's what it was.
Yeah, I assume that it was. I assume they got scared off by the reception to Outlaws being like, oh, like this is like, we can't deal with bad publicity on two major titles back to back. Because it's not a big delay, it's only 3 months. It's not like you can change a ton in that time.
Yeah, that's just a polishing. Like, we're gonna make sure that this isn't a buggy mess.
Yeah.
I don't think Outlaws was even that bad, but yeah, it definitely did not hit the way they wanted to. I'm sure they spent way more money on it than like something internal that they own. Like they had to pay Disney to make a Star Wars game.
The licensing fees alone.
Yeah.
And I mean, making an open world game, it's not cheap.
No. So that's what's going on news-wise. Not much, actually. sounds like a lot, but there were some other things.
The Horizon Zero Dawn remaster.
Oh, yes, there's a remaster of that coming out shortly, not too far. $10 upgrade.
Yeah, which is that I own it digitally. I really look forward to it. But apparently Sony had to raise the price on the PS4 version.
Yes, so they've raised it. It was at $20. It's been $20 for a few years now. That game is 7 years old, 6-7 years old.
Yeah.
It's been in like their PlayStation greatest hits lineup for quite some time. And it had been $20. In fact, like it was the complete edition for $20. So you got both the game and the Frozen Wilds or whatever that expansion was. And they upped it to $40
because people were getting the cheap version. They're like, oh,
Yeah, she'll just be able to get the PS5 version for $10. Wild. Just kind of shitty, but like I understand.
You know what's weird is I went to go download Horizon on my PS5, like the original one, and there was a lock next to it, and I can't download it. I'm like, I don't understand.
That's weird.
I was like, did I buy it physical? Like, I'm pretty sure I did not. So I don't understand why I can't download it on my PS5. I don't get it.
That's the only time I've ever seen that, Jeff. Is
if you own it physically?
Yeah. Because like you need the disc in the drive to have it it's unlocked. Like, unless they took it off. Like,
I can't.
You did buy it though, right?
Yeah. No, I had that game. And I just never got around to like actually playing it because it came out when Breath of the Wild came out. So I was just like, I've been playing my PS5 lately. I'm like, you know what? I'll give a Horizon and fucking I can't download. Maybe I bought it on disc, but it just seems so unlikely that I would have. But I don't have PS4 games. But And I was like, maybe I'll try to give the new one a chance. It's got to be cheap by now. It's fucking full price. I'm like, fuck this. How are none of these games like on sale right now?
Aren't they all on sale right now, though? Because there's like...
It was not.
I mean, they do go on sale pretty regularly.
I just figured by this point... It's almost
Black Friday season if you want one of those. Yeah, pretty close.
I just felt like I should have been able to go up the store and I would have been like, yeah, the new one is $20, you know, but no, it's like 70 or whatever. Like, I don't think I liked it enough to pay $70.
Was that Forbidden West?
Forbidden West, yeah.
Yeah. This game is stupid. It's currently on sale for $30.
Is it really the new one?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I thought Tony was having a big sale right now.
Yeah, and it is. It's on sale through the 10th of October. 40% off. Its regular price is now $50, $49.99. It's on sale for $29.99. Yeah, I would actually. Jeff, if you have the disc for Zero Dawn, I would try and find that first because I think Tony and I both like Forbidden West, but I think we both agree it's a little bit bloated.
Oh yeah, I talked myself out of it. I watched some video of it. I was like, oh yeah, this is the type of shit I don't like.
I think there's a lot of really good content there that improves on the previous game. It's just not as contained an experience. There's lots of like extra stuff, sort of like an Ubisoft game where they just have too much open world crap.
And I think Jeff might even think Zero Dawn is too much like an Ubisoft game.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's gotta be something for PS5 though that I missed that I should check out. That is.
I mean, if you
good. Well, I think there's a reason they keep releasing games. And they don't really have any new ones.
Did you try Returnal?
I did. Yeah, I didn't get far in it, but yeah, I tried it out when I had I got like PlayStation Plus.
It's like the only one I can think of that
that is like
newish. Yeah,
and it does seem like something that would be more up my head. It seemed hard. Couldn't get anywhere.
But you did get somewhere in Sony's critical, and seems like it's doing fairly well with the public, Darling, Astrobot. You finished Astrobot, Jeff.
I did. So there is dark PlayStation 5 games. At least there's one.
There's a PlayStation 5 game.
Also, worth noting, not $70. I think it was $60.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the best PlayStation game I have ever played. I thoroughly love Astrobot. They did it.
Glad to hear that.
They made a game that wasn't a lot of fucking at you. In fact, there's no talking at all, which is pretty cool. It's fun to play, and I would say it rivals Mario for, like, you know, 3D platformer. It's like as good as a Nintendo 3D Mario game. I think he has less moves than Mario does, but that's made up for like all the creative power-ups that they give you.
You'll get stuff like frog boxing gloves or a chicken jetpack or it's like a bulldog rush. Like there's a bunch of different ones. There's one that I really like. It's like you basically become the morph ball from Metro.
Yes,
you're like you became like a steel ball. That one's really cool.
You know, it didn't occur to me that, but I swear to you, they put like a little tunnel for you to go through somewhere. So to like, hey, we're like, yep. Like it was like an obvious nod to Metroid. Like I didn't think about that. I went to the tunnel. I was like, oh, I see what you're doing. I see you.
I'm right there with you, Jeff. I think it's great. I have not finished it. I think you said I'm like right at the. I have like the final boss is like right after where I'm at. So
you're at the final boss. Can't really discuss that, but I guess we can discuss like there are four or five major bosses before that.
Yeah, five worlds. Each of them has a boss at the end. Yeah,
and I think they are great platforming bosses. Like, and I think that's one area where it like surpasses Mario. I think the bosses in this are incredible and can be pretty challenging. Maybe the first one, the gorilla, I got past like no problem, but all the other ones I had to do like at least 3-4 times, if not like a dozen times before I got through them. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the one, and I don't even know if it was, is the snake, is that, that's an actual level boss, right? Like,
yeah,
that's the one I did not enjoy. I think it was like something about, there just seemed to be a delay in the way he responded on that level, like how Astrobot responded, but every other one I thought was super great and works really well. Creative.
The chameleon, I think he had some trouble with that one too, because that's the one you have to pause.
That was slow. The one. It wasn't the snake, it was the chameleon. Yeah, you have to slow it down. And
yeah, so when you're fighting this boss, the power up they give you, you could basically like slow time, like bullet time, you know. And I think you're right, Chris. There is a little bit of a delay, like you have to anticipate. Like, you have to click it, like, a second in advance of when you want. Because, like, there were times I would, like, he throws, like, blades at you, like, those saw blades.
Yep.
And you're supposed to, like, slow down time so you could jump across them. And if you wait to, like, right as they're about to hit you, they're just going to hit you. Like, it takes you a second to pull off the move or whatever. Like,
yeah, there seems to be, like, a delay between when you press the buttons and, like, it actually triggering on the screen, which... That's like the only time I was like, this is frustrating.
Once I like realized that like I had to anticipate a little bit, I think I beat it like the next time. Yeah, I don't know, man. The game is just, you know, graphically, maybe the best graphics I've seen all year. Like, it's just fun. Like, it's super fun. Like, if you like 3D platformers, it is a must play. Like, yeah, and then there's plenty of, you know, we said, there's like five worlds, but there's so much hidden content inside of all that. Like,
on each, I think there's five worlds. And I think in each of those worlds, there are two hidden levels that you can find. So they create a whole sixth galaxy with 10 worlds in them.
But even within the worlds, there's all these optional levels too, like off to the side.
Find bots or puzzle pieces.
Yeah, and then there's the ones, I think the PlayStation button levels that are like, they're like the Super Mario Sunshine, like challenge levels where it's just like, I did a few of them when you first pointed them out to me, Chris. I don't know if you've kept on with them because they're
hard, dude. I have one left.
You have one left? That's it?
Yeah.
Holy shit. No way I have patience to, like, that's crazy. Like, but, you know, if you like that, if you like a good, like challenging mini level, there are lots of them, and they get pretty fucking hard, I think.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. they can be super frustrating. They're all about a minute long. Like, if you, when you actually complete it, like your run from start to finish is just a minute or under. And they're all, you know, focused around one thing. So, you know, whether it's like you're speed jumping or you have a time mechanic that you throw and you utilize that, they're all focused around one aspect that Astrobot can do, and you just have to do it like really fucking well. And those are complete, like, you have to find those levels. You have to find the PlayStation symbol to unlock them. And then, like, once you do that, then you get all like four different levels to do. And they each have a bot at the end. So if you're trying to get all the bots, you're gonna have to run through them anyway. But yeah, they're a ton of fun. Like, I think Square is the blue one. That's where I'm at. One of those left.
There's 300 bots to get in the game. I completed with almost the minimum that you need, which is 200.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's plenty of game there. And, you know, it is like, ever since I bought the PS5, I'm like, why did I buy this? And I now have my answer. It was for this game. That wasn't really like, it didn't even come on my radar until like a few weeks beforehand. I think I asked you, Chris, like, should I get this? You're like, probably. And it ended up being the reason I bought my PS5. It is that good.
Well, I am. I'm happy that you are. That you enjoyed it. Like, I'm glad. I'm probably going to. I may end up platinuming it because, like, I'm gonna go through and get all the bots and all the puzzle pieces, and then
if you've done all cleaning them,
I might as well go do like the little bullshit. Like, so
yeah.
One of the things we didn't talk about is that each of the worlds, after you beat the boss, it unlocks a PlayStation-centric level, like the design level. So the first one is like Ape Escape. There's a God of War level, an Uncharted level. And I mentioned that there's a Horizon level. I think there's, what's the other one? Loco Roco. That's a wild-ass level where you turn into like this little blob and you're just going...
Tilting.
Yeah.
Tilt controls.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of tilt controls, but that one worked really well.
It was fine. It was, like, easy. I think all of those levels are some of the best in the game. Like, they're just...
Yeah,
super creative. Even if you don't have, like the attachment. Like, I don't really have... That's the thing about this game, is that it's doing a lot of, like, PlayStation fan service. And, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of, like, love for any of, like, the PlayStation games. But it's still neat, like... You know, you do the, there's an Uncharted level where they give you a gun and you just run around shooting stuff. It's awesome. the God of War one, like, you have the axe where you, like, throw it and you can call it back.
And you can freeze enemies and freeze items and stuff. It's neat. And the Horizon level, you get the bow.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. They do some neat things. So there's a puzzle piece that is like hidden on an island that's really far away, and you have to shoot your bow across and hit like a target over there, and the puzzle piece will fly back to you from there. It's like there's just shit just hidden everywhere in this game. And if you think, if you like, oh, I can like go there, like, I wonder if something's up there. There probably is. Like, it's a lot like Odyssey in that way where it rewards you for, hey, like, well, I wonder if I can climb this tree by bouncing on these branches and stuff. Oh, there's a whole warp zone to a different world here. Awesome. It's really, really neat.
Yep.
So that's Astrobot, which is great. And then another new platformer came out, and Earl and I played that. The Plucky Squire.
Yeah.
I had actually forgotten, Earl, you added it to the list. I had forgotten this, and I had beaten that this week.
You beat the game and forgot about it? That
yes.
Bodes well.
Well, yes, I'm very curious to hear your impressions.
Have you finished it, Earl?
No. I'm actually playing it right now. I'm on chapter 6, so I know I'm more than halfway done the game, but...
Yeah, there's 10 chapters. They stop calling them out after chapter 8, though. So, I started chapter 8 on Monday and was like, I was just playing like a chapter a night, and then I beat it Monday night, like because it never was like, oh, and we're starting chapter 9 or we're starting chapter 10. It just kept going, so I just kept playing. There are distinct breaks that. Like, I should have figured, like, this is the chapter break, but the way the game had been doing up until then was, like, chapter 1, and it reads, like, part of the story, too.
I was going to say it's very hard to tell chapter breaks in this game when it continues to interrupt you constantly for narration for, like, the grand... spreading of the level or the stage you're about to enter on that page, it continues to do that. And I think ultimately that's my biggest frustration with this game is it has not stopped to let you play the game. The segment I just played was a good maybe a good 20 minutes of this play. I mean, even then that's not true, but like so much of it is like go to a new page, have somebody point out the most obvious thing possible on that page for you to do, and then to do it, but in order for you to do it, the game's also going to make sure you stop and understand what you need to do. Like, I just had to change a bracket. There's a cat in a cave, and you had to change, like, feed it cheese for it to stop harassing people. Fine. Except the game does not give you any opportunity to explore that. It stops you. A character on that page will be like, oh, there's a cat in that cave. If you go near it, it's going to jump out and kill you. You have to find cheese for it. I mean, so there's no mystery here. There's no.
How do I get by it? Like, how do we do this? Nope. It's like you need to get the cheese.
Yeah, I'm even thinking about like, the fact that it doesn't even give me. There's caramels outside. Maybe there's something. It's like no. There's a creature in there. It's gonna kill you if you don't do the thing. I'm like, okay, then you're just giving me like I have to figure out the solution, but you pretty much tell me what I need to do.
That's annoying, dude. I hate that shit.
And it continues to do that. And again,
it doesn't really ever stop.
No, and then
oh no,
because the thing is, there are so many ideas in here that I enjoy on paper that just they don't give an opportunity to breathe. Like the idea of like, oh, it's a children's book that you know. Like the character, your character knows he's in a book now, but like so, like the words mean something, and like part of the puzzle is like changing out the words and stuff like that. But what it usually means is like there's one sentence over here, there's one sentence over here. Swap that word over there, you're good to go. Like that's not a puzzle.
Yeah, those ones do. There are a few that where they get a little more. I wouldn't say complicated, but it's more than just like. Change this word and change that word. It's like there'll be like four sentences and you can change words throughout. And sometimes it's like, you know, how do I figure out how to do this? And then other times like, oh, if I change this word and do something over here, it'll like unlock a collectible or something. It's not, there's always just one solution to the puzzle. It's not, like, oh, I can make this into a cheese statue and then it's I can easily move it because it's made of cheese or something. No,
yeah.
That's a shame because from like the promotion it seemed like there was more creativity.
Yeah.
Yes, and again, there's and that's the thing. There's some creativity in here. like the fact that you can, like, you know, it's 2D and 3D. So you pop out of the book and you're in a 3D world. You're in this, like, you know, you're in this kid's bedroom. And I think that's really nifty. But then the game is like, you can only manipulate the book in some ways. And it very much tells you which ways they are. Because, like, if you go to a page that, like, you can tilt. If you can't tilt the page,
it doesn't show it.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. So I guess I can't do anything. Or, like, if you, like, when you, sometimes it allows you some creativity, but a lot of times it's also, hey, you got to figure out something here. So, it's this golden thing around the page. Can you, you get that now? Like, oh, that's not fun.
Yeah. It's like you can jump out of the, you can't jump out at any point, but there are points you can jump out of the book. And, as Earl said, like, you can interact with the book, and there, it, one allows you to, like, just flip the pages, and it will glow if, like, there's something on that page for you to do. So instead of, like, you being able to search through the book and go, all right, I remember there was a sentence back here, maybe that's what I need. No, it'll just, like, glow at you and be like, nope, this is the page you need.
Yeah.
Go to this page, jump into this part, get what you need, and jump out.
And it's so hand-holdy. But then here's the thing, at least for me, it's very, and then there's parts where it does not tell you what you need. Like, when I got the bow and arrow for the first time, and they put me, I'm like, I don't understand what's happening here. And again, doesn't explain it. I just got a segment where it was like a twin stick shooter. I'm like, I don't think I've used a second analog stick this entire game. Why am I using it now?
Is that where you had, like, the jetpack?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't explain that one at all. So I'm, like, pressing buttons because, like, that's
I'm pressing the attack button. I make, that's the button I've been using to attack this entire time. Oh, maybe it's to show the buttons. Not that easy. So I went around the thing, like, three or four times. I'm like, oh, maybe it's just, like, a survival thing.
Yeah, it keeps, like, showing you, like, oh, there's something coming around. I was like, maybe I just crash into it. Maybe that's how I kill it.
Yeah.
Nope, that doesn't end either.
So eventually I'm like, oh, I got to find a way out. Maybe the game. And then I'm like, oh, it shoots that. Like, why? I've not used a stick for anything yet. But sure. That's the one you don't explain. Yeah, I again, it's because, again, style wise, very cute. The storybook aspect, very novel, no pun intended. All of this stuff. Oh, the other thing, and maybe Chris has a better. You have two best friends you travel with.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, they don't serve any purpose other than having somebody to talk to.
So. They do get a little more useful.
Okay.
They will engage in combat, especially towards the end of the game, which would be helpful because they'll throw a lot of enemies at you, and they'll take, like, aggro from some of the bigger guys to allow you to, like, clean up and then go help finish them off. The game's never, like, super hard, but it's nice that, like, they're being chased around. As opposed to, like, you trying to take on six regular guards and two ogres at the same time. Like, they're taking on the ogres, and then you can clean up the guards and attack the big guys once you're done. And there are also specific, like you mentioned, the shooter minigame, the bow and arrow minigame. There's a boxing minigame right at the beginning. I think it's the first one you do.
Yeah.
Trag, I think that's his name, or Thrash, yeah. And
that's where I'm at now. His rhythm based mini game.
Yeah, so that'll come back up again at the end, and then the witch girl, she has a mini game that comes up twice. So the first time, like, you're doing this as Thrash now, and you're, like, getting his. It's like a rhythm based bouncing game.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a boss fight with him doing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm at now. It's the bird.
Yeah. So you'll refight that bird in the 9th or 10th chapter. and it is not fun. Like this is fine. Like the one you're doing now is fine. I don't think it's particularly challenging, but like, you know, the game gives you enough room that you can mess up.
I will just say the one thing, and I could be wrong, is like the segments themselves are just very long, drawn out, because it's just, you're not doing anything but the rhythm until like they throw an attack that you bounce back and forth.
Yep. Yes. And that's exactly how it is in this like mini boss battle at the end. It's just, they throw it all at you really quickly, and it's just long. It's just a long, unfun sequence. Then the witch has like she plays Bubble Witch. I don't know if you guys have ever played that. Like, it's like a matching game where there's bubbles and you have to match like three or more of the same color, and it pops the bubbles.
It's like Bubble Bobble, or
it's like a mobile game. Like, any like of those, like you like kind of like shoot a little ball and it'll hit like the things and blow them up. Like, it's just a mobile match game.
Okay.
So she does that, and the first time you do it, it's like, all right, whatever. This isn't great. But then they put you in like a boss fight against like the final boss, where she has to like do that again, and it's just super hard and long, and it's not fun. Like,
okay. Well, the other thing I was curious about, and because they also give you the option to skip the mini game.
Yeah, I kept forgetting about that. I probably should have with both. Actually, all three of those mini games at the end, because I hated them. But
so, like, does it just? I mean, I guess there is an option, but that's such a, like, either they knew it wasn't fun, or they didn't realize people would just get tired of them. It's like, why have like a core component of the encounter? Just like, yeah,
it's like we put this in here, and we know you're gonna hate it. So if you hate it that much, don't worry, you can just skip it. It seems really dumb.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah. Because I've not used it, but it's like when you pause, you see it. I'm like, it's always grayed out. So I'm like, and like, the first few chapters, I think the first one was the bone arrow one, which is like a mini game.
Mm-hmm.
And again, even then, I do like the setup of that, not the setup of how he gets the bone arrow, but again, the fact that like it's because he's a book character, because he's a written word, he can get help and support from other written words. Because you get the bone arrow from a card, like a Magic the Gathering card.
Yeah.
But then you only use it in that segment, and then it magically disappears. And that's the other thing, is like, I was expecting a bit of an evolution of the combat. Like, you can get new moves, but you only have your sword the entire game.
Correct.
And there's no shield and stuff. We'll get to another game in a second, which I was just really reminded of. Like, you are trying to be a 2D Zelda game in the core of it, and it's like your combat is just like sword, sword, sword. And it's like, I have the spin attack. I'm like, I mean, again, maybe later on, but I'm like, it never makes any sense, because like when you attack with your normal sword, you do kind of dash far across the screen. So I'd rather that than like the thing which kind of leaves you stationary. To wait.
Oh, absolutely.
Around,
yeah.
It. It's not like a range.
I would occasionally use that. Like, you'll get one where if you jump and then press the attack, he'll do like a smash attack.
Yes.
So I'll use that one. And there's a couple instances where you need to throw your sword.
I've been using the sword boomerang has been my go-to, because it hits them going in and it hits them coming back.
Yeah.
It does a lot of damage. There's certain enemies that. Like they like the ghost type thing, where it's like they, because they, so I'd rather keep my distance from them instead of like, because they sneak underneath you and then pop up.
Yep.
But like, yeah, it has. But again, the fact that I can just kind of hang out on the corner and like cheese that, I'm like, yes, I'm doing that. But I'm like, you are. It's not like I'm wasted. It's not like, oh man, I have this bow and arrow, I have these bombs. It's like, no, I have my sword. Like, even when I got the bow and arrow, I'm like, okay, how do I use it? It's like, oh, you don't use it in the actual game. You'll use it in the mini game.
Yes, you don't have a bow in the game. So it's not like when, you know, Link gets a bow, like he can shoot arrows. No, like you have this bow, and it's very specific to fight the bugs in the mini game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's a little bit disappointing. And I had already kind of scrubbed it from my memory.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it. I mean, again, and we clarified this, and I will clarify this again in January. I think right now it's the leading contender for my most disappointing, because I've been looking forward to this since it was announced, I think 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
Because again, the style, like I love the kind of like the art style, the animation. I like the idea of like the switch between 2D and 3D, which again sounded great on paper, except it's not used in any meaningful manner so far. Like the most is like.
You never leave the desk.
Yeah.
The desk like will change, like the levels, like the little boy that has the desk, like he'll build like castles and like mazes and stuff, and those will be the 3D levels you do when you jump out of it, but like you never leave the desk. It's always just on the desk.
And so, I do like that there's like an achievement for actually like trying to leave the desk, like jumping off the edge.
Yep.
And again, I don't mind that, except they don't do anything with it.
No, and the enemies are all like outside of there's beetles that are and out I think there.
I think they showed up once so far. I haven't seen them again.
They'll come up again towards the end, and you'll also get, I think, goblins like show up out there, and so you'll start to see enemies from the book on the desk as well in 3D forms. But there's not like a huge enemy variety in the game either. So there's like goblins, there's soldiers, there's a bird thing. I think you said the little ghost things. And that's it. Like, that's all there really is. And then on the desk, there are, for whatever reason, beetles.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, just a quick aside, because like, I'm playing the game right now. And I finished that Eagle boss battle with Thrash. And there's an intermission where you go to the wizard, Moonbeard, and follow their talking. And I'm like, okay, weird. Whatever. So, they go to the next page, and I play it out. And they put the intermission in here because you have to go back to Moonbeard, and they didn't want you to flip through all pages so that you just go to the next page and go talk to him. I both respect that and also like, this is so easy.
Yeah. Like, we know you need to leave the book and flip back to go see him because they ask you to like collect something, right? Like,
yeah,
you
need to collect the crush room.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's like, oh, we don't want you to have to go back like 20 pages. it's smart, but also it's like, this is not how a children's book would actually be structured.
Yeah. And again, a very minor, stupid complaint, but it's also, this is just an adult mentality. It's like, I don't like the fact that, the storybooks, because like you don't always go left to right. You go up and down sometimes, and it's like you go up and it still will change the page horizontally because that's the only way books go. I'm like, yeah, but I went up the thing. The page should not turn so that I'm coming from the other side. But again, right. That's a very stupid complaint. There are bigger complaints to be had about this game. I don't even know if I could, because again, I think it's. And if I was to say anything, I'd say I'd recommend people watching somebody play.
Yeah. And it's longer than I thought it was going to be, which isn't great because, as you said, like
it's not very hand-holdy. Yeah.
I will say there's a couple interesting parts in like chapter eight or nine. I guess that's where it is. Like you'll notice there's a shift in what happens in the game. And there's a couple different sequences that I think are neat. But it doesn't make up for like all the other kind of dullness. All right. Well, that's the Plucky Squire. Tony, playing this week?
Yeah, I played a couple things. First off, I finished Age of Mythology Retold.
Mm-hmm.
I guess final word on that game. I really like the mythology in the Age of Empires model, I think, more than I like it in just like plain old Age of Empires.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, it just ends up looking really cool with like all the god powers, like raining lightning from above while like Minotaurs throw guys into the air. Like the actual spectacle just looks super, super cool. I really enjoyed the campaign. It was nice at the end. Suitably epic. It like really like brought it along slowly to a very epic final battle, which was
cool. Mm-hmm.
So I would highly recommend it if you have Game Pass. It's, you know, $0. So
that is the right price.
So. That is the right price. Then I immediately moved on to the next of the several strategy games that they released this month. Ara, History Retold, History Untold, mm-hmm. which is a 4X game, kind of in the same vein as Civ.
Like Civ, yeah.
It's very, very Civ-like, although one of the more, I won't say disturbing, that's not the right word, but more confusing, life-altering, makes you think of things a different way. The map isn't made up of hexes. It's made up of these areas that are all of different sizes. Basically, you found your city, and your first city will be in an area that consists of like five little territories. As the city grows, you can expand it into the next area, and you can choose which area of the adjacent areas to expand into. They're all different shapes and sizes. It's very strange. Some of them are like rounded off and only consist of two spaces. Some of them are really big and consist of five. It's very, very odd. But as you expand, like you can find like your resources. And it's just a very, very Civ-ish experience. One of the more interesting things about the game is like in these pieces of territories, you build things. So you could build like a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a workshop or like a crafting area. And then you can determine like if it's like a workshop, what it built. And then it will give you resources to use in the cities throughout your empire or like trade with other civilizations, which I think is kind of cool. And they all have different like bonuses. So maybe in this one you're making preserved food. And this one over here is making what do they call them? Like tablets of governance. And each one you can like add to a city as its like resource that causes bonuses for the city.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like you would in Civ. You'd have access to like whatever you happen to find, like pearls or whatever that the city was connected to that you could use as a resource that would boost the city. Now you can choose what they are. You like building them for yourself. Kind of a neat little twist.
Yeah, that's neat.
A lot of it very, very standard to the genre. You build armies, you send them off to fight other civilizations. One of the interesting things, periodically the game will give you like power rankings of all the civilizations.
Okay.
And then the game itself is divided into acts. Like you start off in Act 1. And then when a certain number of civilizations have gotten sufficiently advanced, you move on to Act 2. And that's when the power rankings really come into effect. So like my civilization is first tier. Like I was the only civilization that was in first tier. That's great. Awesome. Whatever. There's like, that's like epic civilization that everyone will recognize forever. And then there's the ones that are pretty good. And then there's the ones at the in the bottom tier, which are like ranked forgotten. If you move on to the next act, all the civilizations in the bottom tier are removed from the game. They just like disappear off the map. Poof, gone.
They've just been eliminated.
Yes. So, you know, don't be sticking around in that bottom tier as the act moves on, or else you're gone. You're out of there. It is a very Civ X-esque experience. Mm-hmm. But that map, like, it feels kind of messy and dirty to not be like, not have everything routed off into hexes or squares or whatever these games normally have. Very, very odd feeling to have all these like misshapen areas. And I kind of wonder, like, at the beginning of every game, you generate a new map, and there's got to be some where those kind of areas don't work. I kind of wonder how that functions. But I've enjoyed it so far. Like, I'm definitely going to play a lot more of it as I figure out like things like how the game economy works and that kind of stuff. I have to start my initial game over. I built my army too large, and apparently when you build armies, they consume food, and then all my citizens began starving to death.
I mean, that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
You need to feed your army.
It does make sense. The war against France was just too important, and I needed troops more than I needed, I guess, people at home. Oh well, feel bad for them. Buy people at home.
And that's out on PC Game Pass. Yes.
Yeah, it's PC Game Pass. When I'm done with that, there's also Frostpunk 2 is out. Just got some really good reviews, so we'll give that a shot too.
All right.
Lots of strategy games.
So it has been a decent month for strategy releases, the last month or month and a half or so.
There's been a bunch, and then I need to get these all out of the way, because once Civ comes out, I'm going to forget about them all.
Yeah. Yeah. So good you finished Age of Mythology.
Yes. I don't think I finished Age of Empires 4, so I feel good about myself. Give myself a pat on the back there.
Sounds like Age of Mythology having a shorter campaign helped it too.
It ended up taking me about 20 hours to get through the whole thing.
That's
20 hours to get through 32 missions.
Yeah.
So
that's not bad at all. That's
no.
That's a decent time frame. All right. Well, I guess that brings us, Jeff and Earl, to Zelda Echoes of Wisdom.
There was a game that came out this week.
I've not played it yet. I'm waiting for I generally get Switch stuff physically, and I have credit at a local store, but they are a small store, so they don't get stuff like day one often. So they did not get a copy in yet. So I'm waiting for them to get it in. But I believe both of you have played it.
I have.
So tell us about the new Zelda game.
The first Zelda game.
True.
Jeff?
It's the same, but different.
Okay.
I don't know. It's hard to like. At first, I think we should say like how far we are into it. So like, where are you at in it, Earl?
So I'm in the Gerudo Desert. So the second major area, I guess.
And you've done the first
dungeon. Rift and dungeon and the boss.
And you're working towards the Gerudo Temple or whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I just stepped into the Gerudo Temple. So that like we're pretty close.
Okay.
I think, you know, we're pretty early on, so it's hard to like say anything super definitively. And it's kinda hard for me to think of anything to say that's not like basic info that you would get from reviews. Like go ahead.
No, I mean that is fair. I will say, I found that I'm enjoying the Echoes mechanic a lot more than I anticipated I would.
Okay, good.
I will say one thing, I guess, that does take getting used to is kind of being passive in combat. Well, not passive in combat. You are active, but you are kind of playing defense. Like, you set these things off, and then you're just kind of circling around to make sure, like, either you're a distraction or yeah. that they're aimed at the right thing.
Or, if you want to feel even more active, you can kind of spam the summon. So, like, summon some circle around and summon it again, like, you know, drop it behind the enemy. And I'm starting to get used to that, and it's making it feel like I'm not just sitting back. It almost feels like they're projectiles or something.
Yes. Yeah. Because after the first dungeon, you can do four echoes now. It's like, yeah, I got an army of bats half the time. One goes down, another one gets right back up. Like, I'm just gonna, like, you are just gonna dive bomb these people until I get my way.
I can't remember the name of the summon, but it's like this little guy you throw out, and he like bounces around.
Oh, the armor.
Yes. So that one, like, you know, I had a couple enemies, and I would throw him straight at the enemy, and as soon as he hit the enemy, summon him again. So I just throw it again. So it literally felt like I'm throwing a projectile. Like,
So can I ask a question of you both? So the echo mechanic is it's basically how Zelda
can everything
in combat. But she can, like, she can summon objects. How do you get those objects? Like, how does she like bank them so that you can summon them later?
So, I mean, the there's two ways. There's more than two ways, I guess. But the main way is, one, there are objects in the world you can interact with. The first few you get, the bed, the crate, the rocks, stuff like that. And it's Joey. You go up, you press ZR. She gets it in her inventory.
But it'll say, like, if it's a summon that you could get, learn when you're like standing next to it, and so you could just learn whatever. Basically any enemy you kill, you can make a summon first time you kill them or whatever, you know, hit learn next to them, and then you will have that enemy as a summon, and then you have some of the objects. Unfortunately, you can't get summons off the bosses, but that's the only thing I've noticed so far that I cannot summon yet.
Yeah, it is kind of fair. I will say, I mean, minus spoilers, it's in the trailer. The first kind of boss you fight is Ink, or a dark version of Ink. And I was like, oh, no wonder people hate this guy. He's such a pain in the ass to actually fight. Like, everything I threw at him, he would just hit and, like, one hit and knock out. Mm-hmm. So it got to the point where I would throw out, like, the spear Mopians, and I would just do the spin attack so he gets my attention, because he has the shield, and then they would just throw the thing behind him. But, like, they do it once, and then the second phase, he has to spin attack, so you have to keep your range. There's other ways to defeat him. But, like, you do get a sword fight, so you have the ability to do direct combat. But it's such a finite that meter goes really fast.
They do give you a sword in the first temple, and you you could basically do, like, regular 2D Zelda combat, but that is time bar, so, like, it's pretty limited. And once that magic bar runs out, you cannot use the sword again until you find, like, magic floating around to help up the bar fill up on its own.
Okay, so, like, it's a finite resource, and it's not like stamina where it would refill. It's like you have to find something to refill it. Got it.
I will say, I think the only time I've used it is that boss fight. I don't think I've used the sword inside of it.
I forget. Yeah. The time I do use it is if you get near the rifts on the overworld, sometimes, like, those job things come out. But I don't mind it, because, like, once you kill them, you get most of it back anyhow, because they will drop sword energy. And it's so funny you mentioned that, because the first actual boss, the first in that dungeon, like, I would just summon creatures. I'm like, this is taking, like, wait, I can
actually, it would take forever. Yeah, yeah.
And they do.
Against Link. Yeah.
Yes, they do compensate for that, because every time you do damage, you get more back for. And it's also like, you know, it's not like one of those things where like you do it and it's like it runs out. You can summon it like three hits and then unsummon it and still keep whatever's remaining. And then I don't think they're named yet, but like you get, I assume that's what they're for. You get like those cogs, but like the mysterious element. And I think I got one, and that refilled. That refilled my thing for me.
Okay. You know, so when they first showed the trailer for this game, I was like, I'm bored. I thought it was a really neat idea doing the combat this way. And I'm enjoying it a lot now that it's in the game. So it was not a surprise to me that I liked it. I think it is a cool idea. I don't think everyone will love it. I think some people will be, you know, some people are just not happy people. And I think, you know, I think there will be people that think it sucks. I love it.
How dare you criticize not happy people? I take offense to that.
But
I will say my one big complaint about that system is they needed a better way for you to be able to pick through things. Like, as you get more and more of those things, that line of like, oh, I got to find this item, scrolling through like 30 things is not it. And then you can sort them, but they needed to have like two or three that you can have on a quick select.
This kind of goes into my one complaint, but also think about the fact, Earl, that like we don't have that many things yet, like, and it already feels like massive, like this long.
And that's what I'm saying.
But because all the menu stuff is like totally copied from Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, and yeah, I don't know why they don't like. I don't know. I think there was probably a better way to do it. But my problem is, even at this early point, I have so many tools at my disposal that yes, it is clunky to find them, but it's so many that I'm like forgetting some of the tools that I have. Like, yes. I just forget. So like, I was just doing this. They have like 2D side-scrolling sections, like in Link's Awakening or whatever. Or the underground areas in the early Zelda games. And I was trying to build bed bridges, and I was like, how the fuck do I get up here? I'm like, oh yeah, I have a spider that I could just throw out, and it creates like basically a rope for me to climb up. And like, it made that whole, like, I was stuck in this section forever, and I was like, I literally just did not remember that I had that spider you could throw out that basically, you know,
That basically just creates that vertical. That,
yes.
I do like it in the 2D section that like you have to have, like, it needs like a certain ceiling or it won't do it.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that has been, I'm surprised, because that's like one of my go-tos. Even in the overworld, I will do it sometimes.
Try it, yeah.
And then the other spider you get, the one that kind of just crawls up walls, because I also like the bind ability where it's like, okay, you're going to climb up, so you're going to do the work for me, get me up there. And then we'll sort it out afterwards. But yes, it gets.
Wait, you can bind to your summons?
Yeah.
What? I was just binding to like move those giant boulders around. I didn't even think of that. That's genius.
Do you not have to use, maybe you don't have to use it for something. But no, you can bind them. You can like is it the armadillo? It's like there's a cave in the desert that you go to, and you go into a room with like two of the armadillos, and I just had the spikies around me, and every time they would run into it, I'd spawn a new one. That just keep going, and they just kept on running into them. And like, yeah, you can do that. You can bind, and yeah, I do it with the bird times too to get high up. Well, again, like they don't, like sometimes they just go after the enemy. Like, no, I. Because there's like a heart piece or a chest up there I want to grab, and they're doing their own thing. No, you can bind to, it is bind, but the other, you can bind, and then there's one where like you bind, but then you move with the item instead of the item.
Yeah, you hold down a button.
Yeah.
And for Chris and Tony, this is kind of like that ability in, I think they're in both the. Right, it's in Breath of the Wild too, right? Where you can like grab objects with this like hand in front of you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You could, you know,
move stuff, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. So it's like you have that ability in this, but I did not realize you could do that, like, you know, throw out a summon and connect yourself to it and like ride around holding your summon. Like, I did not realize that.
A question for you. So you guys said that there's like a, you know, a clunky way of selecting your summonable items. Does it pause when you're in that menu?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like you're not.
It's the same as Breath of the Wild or whatever, where it's like you press down the right directional and it brings up just a long line of things for you to scroll through, and you just, you know, use your right stick to like
land
on whatever item you want to use, and then it selects it. But it's like, it's already like, you know, me and Aurora are like 2 hours into the game or whatever, and we have like 30 fucking things that I'm scrolling through already. It's like, what the fuck? And like, you know, it's just going to get like massive because like,
yeah, and they there's some, you know, like the most recent ones you catch are at the end, so you can just go there. You can sort by most used, but it's still a massive list. And to be fair, there are some that I'm probably never gonna touch. Like I will. I'm not used to crates much. I've mostly been a bed and a trampoline guy. So make a bed, make a trampoline, use those for the verticality. For creatures, I have the pea hut. I think that's what it's called. It's like the giant flying spiked flower thing. Put that out.
Oh yeah.
Turns around, does a lot of damage. Nothing can really get close to me, and none of the echoes hurt you, so you're good in that regard. There's some that are like, there are some like, I have the creature that, for, you know, to set things on fire. There's one, the armadillo, not armadillo, but there's like, oh, a mole, so you can dig through the dirt. So yeah, there are some that you kind of need, but there's some that I'm like, I've not used the essential the piranha pants. I've not used them much. I've not used the meat much. I don't think I've used the meat at all. Like, yes, because you can get objects, you can get tools, you get a bunch of random stuff. But I guess they needed to be a way where it's like either that or like, you know, like how some games like they will do that, but then you have like the circle menu where it's like, here's like the 8 things you're gonna use most often, and you just want to quick select that.
And I feel like they should have a dial like that you could add things to.
Yeah, like
something, man. I don't know, like. But anyways, the game though. I'm not going to be telling you anything new if you've watched the reviews, but like, it is classic, awesome, like 3D Zelda with like classic or 2D Zelda with the classic dungeons. But the problem solving and the puzzles and everything is very much from the new 3D games, where it's like, it's just like, what can you imagine? You know, if you could imagine a solution, then you could do it. Is it the solution? No, because there is no the solution for a lot of it. Like there's, so like, if you don't like that type of puzzle solving from the new games, like, I don't know what to tell you. Bad news for you.
I was gonna say the positive, I think, is in this case there are not like, there's no like right, but I do think sometimes like there are certain times where the game will be like, we're gonna introduce this enemy or we're gonna have this, like, I just went through one of the caves where like, you get like a wind machine. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go into a room and I need to blow out the sand piles. Got a wind. Actually, I didn't have the wind machine. I had an enemy called Tornado and just sent him out and he would do it. But the wind machine, I'm like, okay, so you know you're going to need to blow air in this room somehow. And a lot of them are redundant. Like I have the wind machine, but I also have the Tornado. I have crows, but I also have like
I have a wind machine. I have the Tornado.
Yeah. So if you, there's a lot of like, not mini dungeons. They're not like shrines or anything. Like you know like little rooms you go to and like
maybe little caves and shit.
Yeah. And like I went in one and it's like you know it's like one of those the gust machines. Like if the elder walks by, it will just blow her. So like I put a rock in front of me so that the rock would like cut off the air and then like I would just walk past, but you can actually copy the machine itself. and then use it in that regard as well. So yeah, I do enjoy the fact that like, and it's open, because I think, even though I think, you know, we did the same thing, once you beat that first rift, it does give you the option to go in two different directions.
Yeah. And going back to what you were kind of just saying, Earl, like, I have heard that, like, the dungeons, like, there is, like, a new, like, idea or ability, like, someone introduced in each one of them, and, like, you know, a lot of the dungeon will be built around that. So, like, yeah, it's very... I've always said this, like, ever since Breath of the Wild came out, like, there's a way to do it where you can combine the two things. It's, like, it's not impossible to have classic dungeons and still... have a much more open and experimental type game, and this really seems to be going for that. So, so far, I'm very pleased.
Nice.
Yeah. I will say the one thing I was surprised by for Asa, it was kind of a dark start, because they were going to kill Zelda. the start of the game, you see in the trailer, Link gets sucked into the rift. And then a rift takes the king, and I do like their names, right and left. I forget who it's like Minister Left and then Sergeant Right or something like that. And they pop back out, and they're like, "Oh, Zelda's the one creating this. Arrest her!" And then the next thing you see is like, "Okay, the king wants us to kill Zelda." It's kind of messed up, but orders are orders. And I'm like, "You guys are really bad at this." And then you break out, and that's how the game starts. But I'm like, yeah. They really were like, we're going to kill Zelda here. And I will also say, it's one of those things, I don't know what you're paying attention to people when you talk to them. I do like that this is kind of set after a Link adventure. Because like everybody, like you go to town, everybody's like, oh, you were in. Like, I know somebody who had that same hoodie that you're wearing. Have you met him? Did you hear from him? Like, he's like the sword boy from our area. He's been helpful.
I do like
that the world feels like it's been lived in. Like people know stuff has been going on. It's like you continued on from Link to the Past or in between worlds. Like people know he's gone on this adventure and this is now the aftermath of it. And it's kind of nifty in that regard that yes, it is. It's Nintendo. Like there's a lot of, I mean, it's not a lot of setup, but there is setup to like, why is Zelda on this adventure? And because like she gets rescued, she escapes, she gets kidnapped, she goes back and she's gonna, you know, do her thing. And then she's the only one who can see Tri until after the first rift, and then other people start being able to see them. Also, Tri is very adorable. What a really cute companion so far. Hopefully, does not turn, they don't not turn to be evil or anything. So.
It is funny though, like everyone knows who Link is, but it's like I feel like they should know who she is. Like you go to the Gerudo chief and he's like, "Who the fuck are you?" Like, what, you know? She's a fucking princess, bitch.
I mean, I think because she's in disguise, technically speaking. That's the whole point of her wearing the cloak.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So she's not like out there going, "I'm Zelda, bitch."
Well, yes. You don't know what she's saying.
You have an idea of what she's saying.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I mean, she does it to Impa. She does it to somebody where she actually does take off the cloak and be like, "Oh, it's you. Why are you out here?" Yeah. But no, it's and this is more for Walt, because I know, I think Walt, and I figured it's quick. It is based off of the Link's Awakening remake engine. So. I've noticed like there's been times where it shows down a little bit, but it's just one of those things that I know people have said. I've not played Link's Awakening remake, but I'm like, oh, okay. But it's like 5 seconds and it moves on, and it's not even it does not bother me. But I know it does bother people, and I think Walt had mentioned it. So just for you, Walt, that is it does at times.
It's still there. I don't think I never thought it was as that bad in Link's Awakening, like. Like it's noticeable, so if you know I'm noticing something, then you know, I guess
probably
you know,
bad.
Yeah, but like it's never like it never hiccups enough to where like it affected the gameplay or like the heat of the battle for me.
Oh no, it has an effect, but I'm like, oh, because when I was playing before, I'm like, I didn't notice, and then when I was playing this, even I'm like, oh, okay, I notice it, And it's weird because it like happens. It just like, no, it's not like, oh, it's not. It's, sometimes it's just walking around.
Yeah.
Like, it's never been like, oh, I've summoned too much or anything like that. It's always just been like, oh, I guess it happens here.
I feel like they worked on it a little bit since Link's Awakening.
I'm sure they have. But yeah. And it's also,
we're on a very old system at this point.
Yeah, but it's an engine made system. That's the thing that. And also the Just What. I also do like that. They do ape the Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. So I like how they do like the missions and like how like, it pops up on the screen and that nice letter and stuff like that. And the, you know, like the, your main objectives go just sub, you know, your sub quest or.
Yeah.
Or like brew and stuff like that. And a lot of people are very, you know, helpful. And again, it's like one of those games where you set a destination and you get distracted by five different things you can do because, you know, like, again, you don't have all the dungeons and areas open up. I don't think anyhow, but like, if you see something, the odds are, if you want to try to get it now, you can probably try to get it now. There's nothing that a game's saying that like we're not restricting you. If you want to try to like, your restrictions are, I assume, the number of items you can place at a time. But like, if you want to try to get up there, we're not going to stop you.
All right. Well, that's Zelda Echoes of Wisdom.
I'm sure
we'll be talking a bunch more about that, I'm sure, over the next month or so.
Well, hopefully, because I have a problem.
You have a problem?
Yeah. I think my Switch is going to blow up.
Oh.
Oh. That's not good.
The last game I was playing on the Switch was Dark Souls, and it would make my fan go crazy. And I just, for whatever reason, assumed it was Dark Souls. And right. I started playing this, and yeah, dude, as soon as you start the game up, it just like, and never stops. And
perhaps it's time to get a new Switch.
Well, that's the thing, dude. I don't want to do that. Like we're so maybe close.
6 months out from it.
Yeah, we're so close, dude. This thing is fucking. Oh, man, it's lasted this long. It's going to die like months out from the Switch 2. But like, if it does, I have to get. I need to play this game. Like, there's no option of me going, oh, I'll just wait or whatever. And you know what sucks even more is I'm going on a trip in like 2 days. Like, I'm heading down to Arkansas. And so I want to bring this Switch with me and play it, and I'm like, fuck, it's going to die on me. So next time, I won't be here next week, but next time you guys hear from me, there'll be a story about how I bought a Switch in Arkansas.
Yeah, no, we know you can't survive without one, so you might as well just buy it before you go.
I thought about it today, man. I bought a can of like Dust Off or whatever, and I was like, maybe that'll do it, and it did not fix it.
So
you could get the OLED version. You know you want it.
Yeah, I know.
Does the Switch Lite plug into the dock?
No, it does not.
Mm.
I thought about that too because I was like, but that one option I could do is just get a Switch Lite and play handheld until the new system. But I really like mostly use my Switch docked. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, we know you don't want to do that. You want the OLED version.
I'd also say maybe you can take get in some compressed air. Maybe there's like some
block. That's what I did. I tried it. It didn't work. It didn't fix it.
Compress some air into your wallet and get the OLED version. I didn't think it was going to happen.
I didn't think the compressed air would work either because my vents didn't look dusty at all. Like they looked very clean. So I'm just like, but I was like desperate. I was like, maybe this is the $7 solution.
Yeah. The chips are just overheating from age and use.
Yeah, how it's old really is weird. Switch?
It's launch.
Oh yeah. Oh God. My launch Switch, it doesn't have any battery life anymore. Like it's just not, you need to replace that.
My thing is in great shape except for that fan. And the weird thing about the fan is like, so when I was playing Dark Souls, when it would start up, I would just put it in sleep mode and turn the system back on. And that was like a 50-50 chance that would just make it act normal after that. So I'm like, there's something, like, I don't know. I don't get what it is. I don't get what it is that's doing it, but it sucks.
Yeah. the Link's Awakening engine. It's just it's so
yeah, right.
so hard on the system.
I mean, we were just talking about the struggles to play the game a little bit, so maybe, I don't know, man. Like,
that's nuts that
that would be
what killed your system, but
like so far it does not overheat and shut off or anything, but it's just like it is so loud that it's distracting when you're trying to play. And in handheld, you would feel like the fan would be going so hard that the fucking, like, you would just feel the system vibrating in your hand. Like, what the fuck?
That's going to be super gonna take positive off for you. Yeah, you'll be, you'll have like a jetpack when you're in Arkansas to fly around with. Well, I hope it works out for you.
I hope.
Did Earl, Jeff, did either of you play anything else?
I played Dead Rising
Remastered.
Yeah.
Deluxe.
Yep.
Double Trouble or whatever it's
called. Yeah, it's like, I don't know what the full name is, but yep. I some reason decided to buy that.
I mean, I know why I decided to buy it, but I mean, you like the first game, so
I do. I think
how's it hold up?
It feels old to me. Yeah. It really does. Like, you know, when that game came out, it was, I have like a lot of nostalgia for it because like it was the reason I bought a 360 and it was the first game I had on 360. And at the time it was like mind blowing because of like how much shit there, like one, how many zombies,
enemies, yeah.
Yeah, and the amount of like interactive objects in the environment, like things you could pick up, costumes you could put on, all that. None of that stuff today is just like, it's just like, okay, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? It's not
every game since then has also like made everything interactable, and you can pick up everything, and there's tons of costumes, and yeah.
And, you know, the fact that there's 100 zombies on screen, it's like, okay, great. But,
right. It's like, have you played World War Z? There's 1,000 zombies
on screen. Like, and, you know, I think I said this around the time that I was playing Dead Rising 4, where I was just like, I think that this game, like, its time has come and passed. Like, because there's just not a lot to the game itself that is actually fun. Or, like, the combat and shit. Like, fighting the boss in these games, like, suck. Like, it's not...
Yeah, so, I don't love the first game. The two things I remember from Dead Rising 1 are, it's, like, escort mission the game.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of your main goals is, like, escorting the survivors to, like, a safe house. Or safe room. And bullet sponge bosses.
Yeah, that don't feel good to fight. Like, it just doesn't, like, it doesn't feel good. And I think that still holds true today. Like, I fought one already, and I was like, oh, that sucked. I think what, you know, I've always loved most about the game, though, is still appealing today. And I think, why the first one remains my favorite is because of the setting. Like, just hanging out in Willamette Mall is pretty cool, I think. Like, it just, there's a certain atmosphere to that. And the other thing is like the zany characters of it all. I think that still is like, it's just like you're running into all sorts of crazy fucking people the whole time. And the game has like a sense of humor, like, you know, it's tongue in cheek. And I think all that is still like, I don't know. And obviously, like, this remake, like, or remaster, or whatever you want to call it, like, it does look a lot better. Like, it's running on the Resident Evil engine. It looks good. And so, like, it is neat to be playing through this game again. It feeling like, you know, little coat of polish on it. Like, you know, they did fix some other stuff with the controls and stuff, but, like, the thing is like, I beat Astrobot, and I had one day until Zelda came out, and I bought it, and I kind of instantly regretted it, but I think I will end up playing through it. And I, you know, the other thing I still do enjoy about the game, which I think maybe some people don't like, is the kind of escort aspect of it, and like the kind of juggling of priorities and trying to get things done within a time limit and all that. Like,
mm-hmm.
those are always things I've liked about games. Like, I know some people hate that shit, but ever since like Majora's Mask, I've always loved that shit.
What was that, Earl?
No, I said he does like Pikmin and that. I mean, the first one was mm-hmm. with that as well.
Yes, I love that about the first Pikmin. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the time limit.
I just think it's because you have to like think and plot out like what you're doing, like what am I going to accomplish in this time frame. Now it does kind of take away from can't
do everything.
Yeah, it does kind of take away from like getting to just like hang out in the mall a little bit. But I don't know. You still get to like mess around and check out the stores and stuff. I think when you beat the game, like you do get like a like not unlimited 3D mode. Yeah, I want to say I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah, I think that's how you can go through. Because there is like an achievement for, or there was at least for, I think saving all of the survivors. So I think you can do that in the unlimited time mode.
Will I want to do that after having played through this?
Probably not.
I mean, I just beat Astrobot, and I'm like, you know, absolutely love that game. But I'm still like, am I going back to get the other bots? Probably not. In fact, the only game, now that Earl mentioned it, the only game like in recent memory where I like really went 100% of it was Pikmin 4. Like, I like
that game. You really were into that one.
Well, also because like, rolling the credits is like very deceptive. Like that is not the end of that game. There's way more going on. But yeah.
All right.
Dead Rising. Yeah. It's wait for a discount.
Okay. Earl, did you play anything else this week?
I finished up. The credits rolled on track. I think there's more to the game. Mm-hmm. Just a real quick refresher, it's that weird creature collecting. I don't want to say creature collecting because then it makes it sound like Pokemon. But like, yeah, you have a flock of random animals. I still don't know the purpose though. They don't do anything. It's just like, it's just cute to have an army of animals behind you.
Sure.
It was weird. The ending was you find a creature who steals like one of the scientists' bag, you chase it down. You get the bag back and you go talk, you give it to her and it's credits. But you do that and then like a whole other part of the game opens up. So I don't know what's going on. I'll figure out next week, I guess. But again, it still remains adorable. It still remains cute. That's very relaxing. I do think they can have a better sense of direction because sometimes you are just flying around randomly trying to wait trigger. But yeah, it's a cute, cute game.
Real quick for me, played a little more Funko Fusion. The more I play that, the more that went from like, this is fine, it's like a Lego game, to this is a bad game.
Oh no! Why?
It's very, very repetitive. So each of the different universes only has one thing that like differentiates it from the other worlds. So the Hot Fuzz world like has a like CSI type like blacklight police scanner, and use that to solve crime scenes that are very specifically set up as like, oh, there's police tape, so you need that item. In the Scott Pilgrim world, there are very specific spots where you're going to need the amp that you get for that game, for that level, because there's puzzles that revolve around that. And that can only be done utilizing that item that you get in that world. And so there's only like one of these things for each of them. So to complete the level, because they don't know if you have any other characters with other powers, that's the only thing you're going to be utilizing in that level.
So it's kind of like the old, like the problem people used to think with Zelda was like the dungeon, the one item.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah.
Well, except that's... it's five levels of that, right? So it's like five dungeons of that one thing, because each of these universes has five levels to that specific, setup. So Scott Pilgrim has five world levels. Battlestar Galactica has five. Master of the Universe has five. The Thing has five. Like, they all have five levels, story levels that you're going to go through. So they all have that one item that you're going to use to solve the very rudimentary puzzles that they have designed there. There are things kind of like in Lego games where you'd go back with other characters and like you can unlock other areas and get other collectibles, but they're not necessary for the core level to be completed because the game doesn't know if you've played anything else. They can only rely on the fact that you have, if you're playing in Scott Pilgrim, that you have the four Scott Pilgrim characters. That's it. It's a little buggy. Like I've had situations where I get stuck on something and then I just can't move. And in a Lego game, like there's normally like another minifig you can jump to. So if you're playing like Lego Batman and Batman gets stuck somewhere, you can jump to Robin or whoever is with him and continue on in the level. And then, Batman, the game will, warp Batman to you when needed. In this, like, I've gotten stuck to the point where I have to, like, go back to, like, I have to quit the level, go back to the hub and restart it, because I was just, like, stuck in the environment. Also, collectibles get stuck in the environment, which makes it, like, that's a pain.
Yep.
It's like, I can't pick this up. Great, I guess I just can't get that collectible now. I have to replay this level. Like, that's annoying. I'm gonna play through it. I mean, I bought it, so might as well. And I'm looking forward to like seeing, at least the levels based on the thing. And there's a Jaws level that I think will be fun. It's a Back to the Future level. Maybe not fun, but like fun to see like set up in this kind of set up. So
no, I mean it had mixed reviews, but it was kind of on my short list of like, just in case it's ever on a deep discount. Because yes, yeah. It reminds me of the Lego game, but also what is Lego Dimensions?
Yeah, and that's who these people were. These were the people that made Lego Dimensions. It's just unfortunate. It doesn't quite hit. Like Lego Dimensions was really polished, like really well done, but those Lego games had kind of mastered everything by that point. It's like if you like the Lego game, like Lego Dimensions was that, but it was, with multiple different universes to explore based on the toys that you bought for it because it was a Toys to Life game.
Yeah.
And Earl, I would definitely wait on it right now because there's also no co-op currently in the game.
Oh, that is weird from the Lego people.
It's evidently coming at some point. Not for all the levels. Like some of it, I guess, is coming in October, and then the rest of the levels will be in November. So it seems like this game
not finished.
It's not finished. Like it may be best to just wait till Black Friday when it's like $15, and then it'll be a finished product at that point. You'll be able to play it with somebody else and.
Yeah, that sounds like you should have just, not you, but yeah, why not just delay it until, like, you have a finished product?
Yes.
I mean, I know why, but...
And the other thing is, like, I mentioned this last week, the load times are weirdly long on it.
That is...
Like, I'm playing it on the Series X. They shouldn't be long. It's running off an SSD. and it's not like, this is a super demanding game. It's a fucking Funko game. Like, you hit items, they either disintegrate and leave you like little vinyl chips, or they just bounce. Like, Like, no, it's not super demanding on the system, I would think.
I have to ask, because how hideous are the characters?
I mean I don't hate Funko Pops, so like I think they're fine. They all do have that Deadeye kind of the pop stare, because their eyes are just black voids and they don't have a mouth. So like if you don't like the design of pop figures, this is not gonna turn you on to them. I think they're fine in general. Trying to get all the KFC chicken buckets so I can unlock Colonel Sanders.
I don't know if that's a made up thing or not.
It's real. There's a KFC chicken bucket in every level in the game, and if you get all of them, you will unlock Colonel Sanders.
Okay. But you do see how that sounds like something somebody would make up.
Yep. you can also
maybe
go to
Chris
KFC.
He's making it up now, and he's insisting that it's true.
You're like, that seems like it's plausible, but also absolutely absurd. Like, it could go either way.
Yeah.
It's the Taco Bell achievement that I'm really worried about later on.
Here's one for you. Also true is there are three versions of Colonel Sanders. One you can get by using the app. So I think I don't exactly know how, because I don't have the KFC app. And the other is spending $25 through the app. So there's two exclusive Funko Fusion pop figures that you can unlock in the game by utilizing the KFC app. So
now the big question is, do you get sexy Mario Lopez Colonel Sanders?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't even remember that.
I forgot about that. My guess is no. The one I've seen is it just looks like Colonel Sanders.
Okay.
One other thing, real quick. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's just a demo. But have you guys ever played the modern Persona games? 3, 4, 5?
5.
So I haven't. I keep meaning to, but for whatever reason, I've never jumped into any of them. But Metaphor ReFantazio is the new game coming from Atlus, and I believe that the Persona team. And everybody's like, oh, it's just like fantasy Persona. And if that's accurate, I think I might like Persona games. I don't like this game's pretty cool. Very stylish.
I'd be surprised if you liked Persona enough to stick with it.
It's yeah.
Fucking forever. Yeah.
That's my fear here, is that like, because Persona, my understanding of Persona games are they are like minimum 60 to 100 hours.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. That's a commitment. I played an hour and a half of this demo, and it's really like super stylish. The gameplay is fun. There's like kind of like an action combat to it, where you can attack enemies on the overworld, but and if you're quick enough, you might be able to kill them. But if not, then it goes into a turn-based system where you then standard turn-based combat where you're selecting whether you want to attack with your melee weapon or do magic or use an item. So that seemed pretty neat. All the menus are like super cool looking.
That I know from Persona. Yes, the menus are very like the same thing. I'd never not pronounce the game, but the Fire Emblem Persona Cross Shin Megami Tensei crossover they did on the Wii U. Yeah, very stylized.
And like I've seen them, they look neat. So I've seen them previously, but I don't think I've ever seen them in motion.
Mm.
and it's very kinetic. Like they're always in motion. Like the menus are always kind of like, they seem lively. Like everything seems very lively in it. And I'm kind of interested in the story they have here. It's a fantasy story. So it's like, you know, standard JRPG stuff, where the king of this kingdom has been murdered by a general in his army, and you are like a resistance outfit that is trying to, at least early on in this prologue, going to get revenge and murder this general because he has put a curse on the surviving prince that everyone thinks is dead. So basically the heir to the throne has a curse placed on him and is slowly dying. To break that curse, you need to kill this general that killed the king. So it's like pretty intricate, you know, plot wise. The enemy design is neat. Like they call the enemies humans, but they are all these fucked up looking monsters. And all the other characters, like elves and like little halfling type creatures. There's a fairy that you have that she talks to you all the time. And I guess this is part of the Persona thing too, is that in your off time, you like have like relationships or stuff, like where maybe not romance necessarily, but you are building like relationships with your party members and other NPCs, and by doing so you are gaining, you know, bonuses and unlocking different classes and stuff, and you can, by doing stuff with them in your off time, you can deepen your friendship and get new. It's kind of like a Dungeons of Hinterberg, where like, oh, I'm going to spend some time with this person, and by doing so, it's going to boost them up to level 2, which is also going to boost me up over here. I don't know. It's really, really cool looking game. Very, very well voiced. The writing seems decent. The world is neat. I don't know. The demo is up on Xbox and PlayStation and Steam. I don't know if it's on Switch or not.
It's not on Switch.
Yeah, I was wondering if it would be a game that could run on Switch, because it looks really good. It looks like a hand-drawn animated movie that you are playing. And then there's full-on animated cutscenes. Maybe a little bit too much for a demo. Like it takes a good 10, almost 15 minutes before you can actually start playing the demo.
Wow.
But because there's just like so much story stuff that they're laying on you at the
demo.
Yeah. And then it's like, now, so like you get this long cutscene, and then it's like, and now we're introducing you to the demo. Now, like they break and go, now you can play. Okay, thank you. And then there's a lot of story bits in between, like, because it's kind of tutorialized, so they are they're giving you a lot of talky stuff and, you know, narrative lore stuff. That's pretty standard for a JRPG. It just seemed a little weird for a demo.
Yeah, it's more that it's in a demo, not that it is in an RPG. I guess you do want to know if you do want to know the story of an RPG. I'm just here. Like if the combat's, I'm not the market place for this. So,
I really did like the combat and the gameplay that it has set up in it so far. So, I don't know. If I can finally finish Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, maybe I add that into my list. But, or I think all the Persona games are on Game Pass. So maybe I should just try one of them.
Do it.
Metaphor ReFantazio is like mid October, so a couple weeks out. But seems cool. And that's it. And we have somehow utilized all of our time. So, unfortunately, again, we are not going to get to Earl's,
Earl's
thing. But there's got to be some dead time coming up at some point.
I mean, I don't think there's much going on next week.
We'll no, see. No. Jeff won't be here, but I don't think he wants to participate in video game movies anyway.
Perfect.
But we will be back. We will be back next week. Jeff won't. He'll be in Arkansas buying a new Switch.
Yeah, you can give us the review when you get back. It'll be great.
Yeah, yeah. Give us a review of Arkansas and your new OLED Switch that you bought.
Where can you buy a Switch in Arkansas? That is the question.
Probably Walmart.
That. It's got to be a Walmart down there, right?
Yeah.
You might have to drive.
The headquarters is down there, right?
Oh, is that where they're headquartered at?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Neat. You could just go right there, go right to their office, be like, I need a new Switch. You guys got to hook me up. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Jeff, enjoy Arkansas and say goodnight.
Good night.
Those are words.